Junior golf is a really important segment of the industry. Right now, we have about 2.5 million to 3 million junior golfers that are playing in the United States, with another 2.2 million who play exclusively off course. We're going to talk today about how to best develop these young players, clubs and equipment, and competition opportunities. So stay tuned. This is The Business of Golf. Welcome into The Business of Golf. I am Allison Johnson here with Adam Grubb. Adam, this conversation today is so timely. I actually just ordered my middle yet another set of clubs because he's growing like a weed, and having two boys, we often use them for things that are otherwise intended. But, you know, we're plugging along. So have you gotten your girls into the sport yet?
Yeah,
or what?
So I found out about the organization we're talking to today by the pro, where I said, hey, I'm looking for some kids clubs. Where do I find them? And he said, this is the only direction you should go. And he explained U.S. Kids Golf to me. I've got a couple of them. I've got three girls, as you know. I've got a couple of them interested in it, and clubs in the garage that are getting the same amount of play as me lately. But yes, the clubs are there, and we are starting that process.
Fantastic. I can tell you they do make pink.
Oh, I know.
My daughter, she had the pink U.S. Kids clubs. Very cute. Walking onto the course. Yep. Very exciting. So new clubs, always exciting. Indeed. No matter what age. But today we have Dan Van Horn joining us. He is the president and founder of U.S. Kids Golf. And I'm really excited about this conversation because there is just so much to talk about. So Dan, thank you for joining us. Now, rumor has it you started this organization because your 8-year-old son had clubs that were too long and too heavy. And since then, it has now grown to a global company where you are selling children-specific, junior golfer-specific equipment. You have a tournament series that I saw locally at my club recently, a foundation, and you've got your own course and facility where you're teaching teachers how to be better at what they're doing with the junior segment. So thank you for coming in and just tell us a little bit about what you've got going on.
Well, thank you. Nice to be with you. I was a dad trying to bring his kid into the game and did what everybody else does. I went into the pro shop and the pro went to the back and got an 8-iron and cut it down and gripped it up with tape and said, this is what you ought to get started. And I, of course, immediately went to the range and gave it to him. And I said, do you want to go back? And he kind of went, whatever. And then tried it again. And I said, do you want to go back? And he said, no. So be the game that I really love, I really wanted to make it him and bring him into the game. And I was also influenced by baseball bats and what was happening at the time, and saw that the bats were starting to get lighter and lighter. Metal bats are coming into the world of baseball. And so the light went off. I looked at the equipment and I saw how heavy it was, even for those clubs at the time that had a junior name on it, and thought, how can a little kid swing something so heavy? So that was the beginning of my need and beginning of U.S. Kids Golf, really. What can I do to help my kids? And then if I'm able to help my kids, what can I do to help other people's kids? And it became a business.
Well, it sounds so simple as you explain it there, but you started a company and a brand like most entrepreneurs do, which is out of a need of their own. Not that you saw a gap in the market necessarily. You just said, hey, I need something better than what's happening here, which is the best story typically of success when it comes to an entrepreneur, because you're close to it, you're passionate about it, and you love it. So when you started this, did you have the idea and the vision of a true dominant position in kids golf and in youth? And second part of that question, I'm notorious for asking long questions. The second part of that question is, do you ever think about truly the amount of kids that you have gotten into golf and how you've helped shape the game just by simply creating a product that you needed at your time?
Well, I think any good company starts with a mission or purpose. I was influenced by writing down a mission that was clear. And so I felt like if I stayed, which was a clear mission to help kids have fun learning the game of golf, and to encourage families to spend more time together. I felt like if I did that, I would be a success. I didn't know really at the time how big we would become, but I felt like it was a mission worth following. When I look at the impact that we've had at U.S. Kids Golf, it truly amazes me. I mean, spending time watching, let's say, you with your son or daughter out on the range, and I see you with the U.S. Kids Golf Club, you know, makes me feel fulfilled in the mission that we have. And I think sometimes that companies can grow bigger than the original vision or purpose when you start. That kind of spirit that we've had at U.S. Kids Golf has enabled us to grow and to be all around the world and doing that all around the world. And so it's kind of grown into what it is because of the people who've been attached to the original mission.
So one of the things that I found really interesting as I was preparing for this call, you know, obviously I've heard of the brand and I've seen the tournaments and knew that you had the course. One of the things that stood out to me is very different, even in the language that you use and how you're presenting yourself to the consumer, is you talk a lot about family. And I noticed that on your social channels as well, that it's not just about the youth athlete, but about the whole family enjoying this experience. And I think that that's a real differentiator. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you. That's really important. The issue of family is something that we all care about breaking down with time. And as I've played much golf in my life, I've noticed that golf could be a separator of families, but I also have seen it become a sport that can bring people together. And so with that in mind, I also noticed that for most of the time, it's one parent in the family who's really passionate about golf and bringing their kid into the game. In many cases, that's the dad, because golf is an 85% male sport, 15% women, but not to preclude the women, because they're the mothers, because they're still involved deeply in everything that a kid gets involved in. But I wanted to, in a way, encourage that time. So when I look out on what we've achieved, I really feel like that we're providing tools and tournaments even that encourage the parent to be able to help him in or her really in their effort to bring their kids into the game. So I do it because I think it's a necessity in bringing their kids in the game. I do it because I think it's the right thing. I do it because I really think that golf is a sport where you can really spend time together. So all those three things matter to me. And so having good equipment that allows the kid to want to go back is really important. Having a tournament where the parents, instead of being put on the sideline, but are allowed to caddy is really important. And then having programs developed where when you go into the golf shop and you're talking to a golf professional about their kids, instead of them looking at the parents and saying, gosh, if I could only get that parent over to the side and away from my kids, I could do so much more. Rather, what we've been trying to say to them is, look, the parent is paying for it. The parent is the person bringing the kid to the course. The parent's going to get in the car and say, well, how'd you like golf today and what was going on? And the parent many times is the person who's teaching the kid on the range how to swing, because you just can't have the coach 24/7. So educating the parent in the process of bringing their kids in the game is essential, but it's really an often very overlooked part of the process.
What I think is unique about golf is that because my kids play volleyball and you know, soccer, and there's all these other sports. Well, I don't get out there. Allison, I don't know about you, but you're not getting out there in the other sports. And
sometimes I want to.
working that angle of like, hey, instruction and teaching. Golf, however, you can be on the course with them. You can be practicing with them at another aspect. So bringing the family in is so important, for sure. Let's talk about the business side of your business, of U.S. Kids Golf. We're with Dan Van Horn here on the Business of Golf and the Stick and Hack Podcast Network. You have a really unique business proposition for families, that they have a lot of different ways they can be included and be involved, all the way from something small of just buying the clubs. And then as the kids grow, you have a replacement set that you get to come in and purchase, so that you're not buying new clubs every year, because we know kids grow at massive rates through the ages of 8 to 15, all the way to your tournaments and some competition. Run us through the true business model of how a family gets involved and how a kid gets involved.
Well, there's in every sport, there are three things that work together that we often don't think about. There's bats, balls, and gloves, or soccer balls and shoes. There is a game, which where uniforms are worn. And then there's something in the middle that is coaching and development. So when we looked at the whole idea of helping kids have fun playing golf, we had to look at all three areas. We couldn't just look at the equipment and say, I need to fix the equipment. We had to look at tournaments. My gosh, and I said, how do we compete with the other sports if we don't go out and have tournaments that engage them? And so what was happening at the time, you'd have a six-year-old, seven-year-old teeing off from the red tees, and they'd want to change the par to six or seven in order to help the kid get there. I just thought that was wrong. We needed to set up the course so a young six-year-old or a seven-year-old or an eight-year-old could have a par and could have a birdie and even could have an eagle. And as they do at our world championship, lots of holes in one. But so then it becomes the coaching and on the middle section, that is the player development part. What can we do to help golf professionals really learn what it takes to bring kids into the game? And I found out that when looking at coaching, it's very much on a, I would call it high school level and above. It's very technical, if you would. And the essence of trying to bring a kid into the game is to make sure and establish the whole issue of fun. So how were we going to help the coaches help the kids have fun and it not be work when they're learning? And there's nothing worse than having to listen to a lecture on how to swing as opposed to playing a game. So we developed a whole system of learning, a whole system of a curriculum, a level, something like karate, that we have part of our player pathway to help players learn the game from zero to even par players. And at the base of it is starting with games and having fun when they go to practice, if you would. So if you can make practice fun, then you can get kids to come back. And if you can make it fun practicing with other kids, then you can come back. So who cares if you're not playing golf exactly the same way? We put up a tic-tac-toe board on a green and we say put into the square, for instance. And if they can do that with all nine balls, then they get to advance into the next session. By that, they learn distance and accuracy, and they develop their skill. So that when it comes time to begin to do it on the real course, they can do it. So anyway, that's part of what we've done. Make it fun, make every aspect of it fun, help the kids be able to succeed on their own when they're playing with the equipment, help them have fun when they practice. And then if they get good enough to play in tournaments, we wanted to make the tournaments fun so that the kids could shoot par. And there's nothing like having six-year-olds, seven-year-olds, eight-year-olds. Well, just ask a Justin Thomas someday when you see him how he felt to play in our tournaments and get a trophy. I don't know if you know it, but when he won the PGA, they asked him the question, you know, about missing some of the other majors. And he said, you know, the one that hurt me the most was back with the U.S. kids when I was 11 and I lost in a playoff. And ask him sometime anyway, see what he'll say about it. But having 11s and 12s and all of them, boys and girls, play and succeed and shoot low scores is really important. It's been part of our success.
Well, golf is definitely becoming cooler with the younger set, I think, as they see a lot of these these junior golfers now playing on the tour, as you said, and, you know, social media is really changing how people are consuming content as well. So we have this different exposure level, right? So, you know, my marketing geek side of me is curious, you know, as golf is becoming cooler and we're able to reach a younger demographic, you know, Adam and I both found out about US Kids Golf through golf professional, me a tournament director, but, you know, golf professionals and people at clubs. So how are you reaching a younger audience to bring them into your world? What, you know, obviously the parents come from a different angle, but how are you getting these kids into your network?
Well, social media definitely plays a part of it. Probably the best part of it is word of mouth from parents, talking about it with other parents their age or are involved in the club with them. So if a program is good, word of mouth, just like anything in life, that you go and try to see if that's a good program that engages my kids or not. Our tournaments have gone from one tournament and to 1,800. We organize 1,800 events every year in 60 countries. So it's done. We've done that because when parents have come, they've had such a good time. And the other thing that's happened is that as players have started getting developed, they've used social media in order to connect. So if you wanted to connect with a 10-year-old boy or girl in your town, it's a lot easier to do it and develop friendships. So we see that happening. So clearly social media, Facebook, word of mouth has really helped us.
Dan, do you have a sense of the next 5 years of the youth golf movement? I mean, do you track statistics and growth statistics on the game itself? And what are you seeing as far as more and more kids and families coming into your program?
Well, this is an unprecedented time because of the pandemic, that people are outside playing golf and looking for outdoor activities. Everything that we're doing is being supplemented by the current market for golf that's going on. So every tournament we have, every club that we've ever made is being sold right now. The demand is off the charts. The real issue going on inside of golf is how are we going to go about keeping or maintaining the new people that are coming into the game, and what's happening in the local level in order to engage programming. For all of us, it comes down to what the program is at the local course or club or area that you live in.
So, Dan, one of the things that also sets you apart from your competition when it comes to clubs or tournaments is you also have this great facility with a learning center in North Carolina. So tell us what you're doing out of that space.
Yeah, well, we became the leader in equipment and also in tournaments around the world. But when it got to the programming and really developing a program for kids at the local club and the coaching there, we wanted to experience what it was like, what the golf professional was going through and how we might be able to help them. In order to do that, we really didn't know what the challenges that a golf professional faces in operating a golf club. So we purchased a Longleaf Golf and Family Club in Southern Pines back in 2015 with the idea of it becoming our living laboratory for developing youth golf. So Longleaf is a beautiful golf club. It needed a lot of repair. The first thing that we did was we installed 7 sets of tees on every hole, and we created something called the Longleaf Tee System. What we noticed and had been noticing, most courses have generally the red tees or the ladies' tees. We felt like we needed as an industry to get away from any sort of generic reference or categories to the golf clubs, and that we needed more tees in front of those so that a player could develop their skill not just based on what they were gender-wise or age or, quote, men's or, you know, championship, but it ought to be based on their particular skill. So we shortened the course to 3,200 yards, 3,800, 4,400, 5,000, basically a set of tees in increments of seven. I mean, in increments of 600 yards between tees. So what happens now, the most golf courses, we have a 5,000-yard course. Some people have gone to 5,600 for senior tees. We have the white tees, the blues, and then the golds at 7,000 yards. Well, that fits the established group of people who know how to play the game, but it doesn't fit very well for young people who want to learn the game. Most people would say, oh my gosh, you mean we really need three sets of tees in front of the red tees in order to play? And we would say, absolutely yes. You don't know, really, your demographic is leaving because the course is too long. They get too tired. They hit too many shots. Most women have started on those sets of tees and thought, what's wrong with me? Why can't I shoot a certain score? And most men have thought, why do they play so slow? When in fact, you get an extra shot on every hole. So it takes you longer. It's a long walk based on how fast you play. So it makes it impossible, and it makes the whole family idea not a good one when there's tension. So, but you can imagine what it is for young people coming into the game. You would not believe what it's like for a lady to play off the number two tees from 3,800 as they get older and to make a birdie. I mean, having a birdie is impossible.
Yeah.
Almost. Well, I mean, except on a par three, if something happens.
That's not just for women. That's for me as well. A birdie is impossible, Dan. All right. So if we're, as long as we're talking about impossibilities here, it just doesn't happen. And I think that's there's several courses now that are putting the junior tees right like little plates in the center, 175 out, and you know, to the right of the fairway, to the left of the fairway, to give them different angles into the green. I think that's important. That clubs are and courses, public and private, are taking that approach to say, look, come and play. Don't play back there and hold everybody up and it be stressful. And just come up, play from 175, 180 out. Make it your own course and just get out and swing and play. That's all we need to do. And just be around the game. And I think that's what, you know, we had a conversation with Susie Whaley several episodes ago, and she chastised me a little bit and said, hey, just take if you want your daughter to get involved in the game, just take her to play. Like, don't wait for her to ask. Take her out. Let her just kind of enjoy the cart ride or the walk and hit a couple balls from 30 yards out or whatever. Just get on the green, putt, and then if she wants to hit another shot, let her. I think that's what you guys are building too, just in very different ways, is just different ways for kids to get involved and families to get involved. And it's incredibly exciting, and we are all applauding your efforts to see something as easy as, hey, this club is too heavy for my kid, I'd like to make it a lighter club, to now what you've built, which is 1,700 events and families and kids bringing families and kids to golf. Just all around applause to you.
Thank you. I just would say, Adam, just keep doing it and make it fun every time you go. And I think a lot of parents stop when there's a little bit of resistance. And I think I don't want to go. Most parents, especially in the United States, where the Asian market generally, a lot of people just said, this is a sport you're going to play regardless. But in the United States, we generally will step back and say, am I pushing too hard? I think I would encourage you to push a little harder, not to the point where you drive them crazy, but in pushing in a sense of making it so much fun that they cannot not go with you. But it is worth a little bit of a push, because most of the time the kids will look back and say, God, I wish I'd played golf earlier. Yeah. Really? Yep. They're going to do that. Mm-hmm. They played everything else and they're going to say, I wish I'd stayed with that a little bit longer. But don't push them too hard. Right. You know, otherwise they'll just, all of us don't know where that is exactly, what the
nice
line
happy
is,
balance, but for sure. Well, Dan Van Horn, U.S. Kids Golf, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time today and all that you're doing to help grow the game and bring more people into it. So thank you.
Thank you, AJ. Appreciate it. Nice to be on your program. Thanks for
so
having
much.
Me.
Well, Adam, it's, you know, as a mother of three, it's not quite yet because it's not spring here. But when I hear my kids say to me, hey, can we go play golf? Like, I get really excited about it because I do want my kids to play. And I think, especially for my daughter, it's really important to me that she plays for business purposes when she's older as well. But, you know, I mean, recently my boys have both quit lacrosse because taking that full year off with the pandemic, it's hard to get back into it. And, you know, it's not as fun anymore when they're now getting into later middle school, early high school. And that's one of the things that I think is so great about the game is that this is something, even if they step away for a while, it's easy to come, maybe not easy, but it's easier to come back to, right? And so we see that a lot, not just with kids, but also with women. A lot of women leave the game when they're starting their families and their career because it takes so much time, but they come back. And so US Kids Golf is just making it so easy for, I mean, for me as a parent, it's certainly easy to go to the club and know that it's quality equipment that my kids can use. Now, my kids aren't competitive golfers, but I can tell you, just based off of what I saw locally with the tournament they had here, I would absolutely put my kids in those.
Well, I think the key is, and you posted a picture in the Stick and Hack member group one time of your daughter with her bag on the shoulder at the range. And there, I mean, there's this idyllic kind of Norman Rockwell-esque, you know, photo that they're getting ready to. And we see these pictures all the time of the soccer cleats and the volleyball and the baseball and basketball, whatever the sport is. We don't see it enough in golf. We don't see enough of that pride of like, hey, my kid's playing golf, because you don't see a lot of kids come up and say, that's the sport I want to be. I want to play, unless they've seen it, right? Unless they've been a part of it, unless they've been around it. And that's important. And the only way you get your kid involved in it is to bring them along and make them involved as much as you can, but utilizing equipment that makes it easier for them to get the ball up in the air, to get it down the fairway, to hit it straight, to have success. You know, I'm 42. I didn't have this when I was growing up and young. It wasn't in my, even in my purview that there was, you know, these organizations out there. So it's really exciting. And what I think is fascinating, Allison, is the sheer size of US Kids Golf that I didn't even realize until, I swear to you, until this interview.
The name's a little misleading, right? You think US only, but it's a global organization that's just
killing
it.
Well, not like that, but I thought it was just clubs. I really did. And no offense to Dan by any means, I just wasn't, I didn't have that education, right? And the pro told me, hey, get these clubs and in a year you can get new ones that fit their size and you can keep going up. Nowhere in there did I think, my God, this is a community of people that are trying to get into golf. So it was fascinating and really, really exciting. And he's such a nice man, but what he's done for the game of golf is one of those unsung stories that until you hear it, you're like, oh my God, I had no idea that the amount of kids that have been probably affected by this program. It's truly inspiring.
Well, and that's one of my favorite things about what we're doing here at the Business of Golf is, you know, undercover work, so to speak, of like what's going on behind the scenes of the industry, because the word of mouth piece is so important, as mentioned, you know, in getting more people into the game. And unfortunately, you know, what kids see about golf is typically what their parents are watching on TV, right? Which is the pros who are playing perfectly. And then they go to hit a ball and they miss it. And they're like, this sport sucks. It's too hard. So that fun part is really important. Yeah. It's like my son, the first night he was playing, was like, he panicked. I can't go tomorrow. And I was like, why? He's like, because I can't get it in the hole. And I was like, kid, neither can most of the people out there. Don't worry about it. You know, but they don't have that exposure. Yeah. And so that fun part is so important, and just the word of mouth as well. And so the more that we can tell these stories and talk about these unsung heroes in the industry, it's really important. Yep. So it's all good stuff, and we'll just keep on going.
Sounds good. Thanks for great guest, Allison. Thank you.
Good stuff. Well, thanks for joining us here at the Business of Golf on the Stick and Hack Network. And we'll talk to you again next week.